Well, God is good. There's no doubt about that in my life. He's always been good to me and my family, and he's good to this church and this church family. I'm telling you, I've never seen such a loving bunch of people in my life. And yeah, absolutely. We just have a wonderful church family. My wife and I have been in a few different churches and never been in one quite like this one. People out there don't know what they're missing by not coming to Abundant Life Baptist Church. Get them in the doors. Anyway, and you know, we're going to grow. I believe that with all my heart in God's time. I want God to be the one to do the increase, not man. I want it to come from the Lord. When it comes from him, it stays. If man pushes it, it ain't gonna work, folks. So, but anyway, last week we started in the book of Daniel chapter 3. And I was going through some things that the Lord laid on my heart, and those things are still on my heart. And so if you would, please, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 28 through verse 30. So when you find your place, if you would please stand. Daniel chapter 3, I'm just going to read the last 28 through 30. Last three verses. The Bible tells us, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God, capital G. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for every person that's here today. And Lord, just bless them. I pray, Father, that they'd receive a blessing from your word today, Father. And Lord, if it steps on our toes, then so be it. For sometimes we need that, Lord. I know I need mine stepped on quite a bit, and you do that quite well, Lord. And for that, I'm thankful. For Father, sometimes trials come our way, and they stay with us for a while. And then, Father, you take them away at your will. But today, Lord, may we hold on to our testimonies. May we keep strong, Father, in the Word of God. May we stand firm as a church to always choose to do that which is right. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, last week, I got through a couple of pages. Hopefully today we'll get through at least one or two. But some of the things that we talked about last week were, just as a review, were the names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel's names before they were actually changed by the Babylonian Empire, because they wanted to take these young men and they wanted to change their lives and mold them to becoming what they wanted them to be rather than what their God had chosen them to be. I'm going to tell you, folks, when God chooses somebody, don't try to change them. You don't change what God has put into action. You can't do that. It's not going to work. And so last week when we were talking about this, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is preserving your testimony. No matter how bad things get in your life, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what kind of trials, what kind of fiery furnace you may be going through, most of us know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they were thrown into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow down to a false god. And I'm telling you, don't ever bow down to anything. Anything that comes between you and God Almighty, that's your God. Get rid of it. Put it behind you. Put God in front of you. As a matter of fact, let your life be surrounded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything about you should point others to Christ. And if it doesn't, back up and ask yourself some questions. Am I doing the right thing here? Is God first in my life? Am I like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where God is before me at all times? Don't ever let God down. Don't let him down. You have no reason to do that. But because of their testimony, because they held on to that testimony that they had in their God, in their Heavenly Father, they were persecuted for that. And they were persecuted because of their standards. We talked a little bit about that last week. These young men had standards that they would not violate. They would not give up on. They held themselves to a standard that was far above what the king of Babylon wanted them to stand up to. You got to hold yourself to standards, biblical standards. Keep yourself in the Word of God, understand what God's Word says, and hold yourself accountable to the Word of God. If you want to know what a standard should be, look in the Word of God. It's in there, folks. Let God tell you what those standards should be. But back then, because of their standards and their refusal to bow down to this golden image that was set up by Nebuchadnezzar, and they refused to do it, you gotta admire these young men. They stood alone, just the three of them, and they were cast into this fiery furnace. And the men who Nebuchadnezzar sent to send them in and throw them into the fiery furnace, those men died before they got to the fire. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fire, and the only thing that was harmed on them was the ropes that bound them burnt off. That was it. That was all. And think about this. If our God can do that, He can certainly see Brother Joe healed. Amen. And if our God can do that, He can do anything. You just walk by somebody, and they didn't even have the smell of smoke. You go by somebody that's standing around smoking a cigarette, it gets on your clothes. You can smell it. These guys walked into a fiery furnace all the way through it, and they were standing in there. And when they walked in there, the king and all of his loyal men said, "Did we not send in three?" "Yeah. Now there's one in there with them. There's four, not just three. There's four. You're never alone, folks. Jesus will never leave you. I don't care what kind of standards you have to have, what kind of standards you've got. Don't give up on those standards as long as they're according to the Word of God and they come from the Lord God Almighty and they're found in the Word of God. Now, there are certain standards that people hold themselves accountable to that may not be biblical, but that's okay. I have a few of them myself that I hold myself to standards, but it doesn't tell in the Bible, don't do that. I just choose not to do certain things. And I've always been that way. And by God's grace, I'll always be that way, by His grace and His grace alone, because you can't do it without God. But these men, when they walked into that fiery furnace, they didn't have to really throw them in. They walked in there, and these men that took them, they all died. They burned up. It was over with them. But when they looked in there and they said, "There's a fourth man in there." And when he looked into that fiery furnace and he saw that fourth, when they saw that fourth man in there, that's when it really opened their eyes. And it says in verse 25 of chapter 3, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt." Think about that. They have no hurt. They weren't hurt in any way. They didn't get a blister on their finger. Not on their feet. Nothing. Their hair was not singed. But look what he says. Look what Nebuchadnezzar says. "And the form of the fourth is like what?" Like who? The Son of God. Folks, I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself came down on this earth and he walked into that fire. He met those young men in that fiery furnace. That trying time in their life, the Lord Jesus Christ was right there with them. In the midst of the fire, folks, He's with you all the way. He will get you through anything that this world can throw at you. I promise you, He'll get you through it. And it may not be the way you want to get through it, but God will get you through it one way or another. You will get through it. And you may not reap the benefits on this earth, but you will reap them one day. So now we see that they were persecuted because of their standards. And now we get on down. I think we got through all that last week. Now I want to talk about they were persecuted because of their sovereign or their determination. They were, not only did they have standards, but they were determined to hold on to those standards. They had sovereign in their life. Nebuchadnezzar gives them a second chance. He gave them one chance and they refused to bow down out in the public. And then they refused to do it in private as well. "I'm not bowing down to no God in the privacy of my home. The world cannot make me do that." But I'll tell you, a lot of people do that. They do it by that television. The old preachers years ago used to call it the old boob tube because people just get enthralled by it. Now it's video games. Now it's internet. Now it's whatever. If that's your God, back up and check your heart, please. Because there's nothing greater than the Word of God. Don't get so enwrapped and enthralled by the things of this world that you forget about the one who gave you the things that He gave you in life, who gave you life, not only physically, but also spiritually. Hold on to that. Hold on to that Word of God that He gives us and puts in our hearts. You know, and this whole story here, King Nebuchadnezzar knows because these boys, the second time he gave them a chance to bow down and they still refused to do so because they had sovereign, they had determination in themselves. Now he knows why these boys are refusing to bow. And he mocks, at one point here in verse 15, he mocks their God. Go back and look at verse 15, what he says here. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer. When this music began to play, these young men were supposed to bow down to this false image. Every time they heard this music. Ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, and then he goes, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then listen how he mocks God. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, this world is mocking God now, folks. They're mocking God with the sins that we as Christians sit back idly by and we don't stand up against it. God hates sin. God hates sin. Tears him up. And it ought to make us mad as well. Sin ought to make us mad. The Bible talks about it's okay to have a righteous anger, righteous indignation, to hate sin. Love the sinner. Don't forget about that. Love the sinner, but hate the sin. Because when you love sin, you become part of it. Don't get wrapped up in it so much that you fall in love with the sin that this world has to offer, because it don't give you eternal life. It will never give you eternal life. But he made fun of their God at this point, there in verse 15. And he implies that Nebuchadnezzar is more, he implies that he is more powerful than the God that they serve. I'm here to tell you today that there is no God more powerful than our God, who is the creator of all things in heaven, on earth. God is greater than all. God is almighty. Don't ever think for one minute that you can defeat the devil on your own. But I'll tell you this, if you stand and you let God stand with you, you can defeat him every single day. In the Word of God, you can defeat him. But I don't recommend you go up against him without the Word of God and without the power of the Holy Spirit living within your life. A lot of people try to speak out against the devil, and they pay for that, believe it or not, because the devil's mighty. He is, but there's only one that's almighty. Get that word, almighty. That's God. That's the God that we serve at Abundant Life Baptist Church. That's the God that we're going to worship. But the king here demands that they bow down to him and to his will, and rather than their own gods. And they wouldn't bow in public, nor would they bow in private. They refused to do it. Praise God for these young men who left this testimony behind. And you know, that's a wonderful thing. These three young men, and I'm excluding Daniel because, you know, he was not here for some reason as a part of this fiery furnace trial that these young men went through. But praise God that their standards were so strong, their names are written in the Word of God. They're in the Word of God. Think about that. Won't it be a wonderful day when you stand before the Lord one day and he looks at you when you're standing there and we're all standing at the judgment seat of Christ, and he looks at us and he says, way to go, Joe. Way to go, Ron. Way to go, Brother Dale. Way to go, people of Abundant Life Baptist Church. You did a wonderful job. And he calls you out by name in front of all of those who are in the midst of heaven. And your name is called out. What a blessing that will be. What a blessing it was for these young men to get their names written in the Word of God, because they chose to do the right thing. They had standards and they would not give those standards up. And now, you know, so they were persecuted because of their sovereign, because of their determination. But in today's world, a true believer should walk in total submission to the will of God, to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to totally be sold out to him and him alone. Don't sell out to the world. Don't sell out to the world. That's what they're trying to get us to do. They're trying to get us, you know, if you guys were really true people of love, you know, it's all about love. There's more than one kind of love. There's a tough love. Amen. And my dad showed me that tough love when I was young. And sometimes I still feel it. He whipped me so hard, I still feel it now. And that's okay. I love him for that. I love him for that, because I got what I deserved most of the time. But I think sometimes I got it once a day, whether I needed it or not, just so my dad could keep me on the straight and narrow. But, we're told to be sold out to God and to God's will, not to the will of this world. He is to have first place in our lives. Listen to what the Lord tells us according to his own standards out of Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 through 39. It says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's not telling you not to love your mother, your father and mother, because one of the first, one of the only commandment in the Bible with something added to it is to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long on this earth. Honor your father and your mother. He's not telling you not to love your mother and your father, but he says if you love them more than you love me, there's a problem. My mom and dad didn't die for me. I love them with all my heart, but they weren't hung on the cross for my sins. They could have never taken my sins away. Only Jesus can take the sins away, and that's exactly what he did. But he goes on, he says, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross or his burden, however you want to put that, and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Give your heart to the Lord. Follow after God. You know, God's always looking for people to serve him. All he's asking you to have is a willing heart, a heart willing to do whatever he asks you to do individually. If you're here today and you're breathing in and out, he's got a plan for your life. I don't care how old you are. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your life. Don't ever forget about that. And then they were persecuted because of their sovereign, because of their standards, and they were also persecuted because of the stand that they made. They refused to back down. I've seen so many Christians in my life who are they wouldn't stand when they knew it was the right thing to do. They refused to do it. I had a boss one time that I worked with, and he was hired from the outside. I knew a little bit about him because he did some work with another company through our company, and then later on they hired him in to kind of be sort of a vice president of the company. And you know, he deserved to have that position. But the only problem I had with him was when he was not around everybody else, he was a Christian. But when he got around a big crowd, he was no longer a Christian. As a matter of fact, I remember one time we had a manager's conference, and it was like an awards banquet where everybody got the awards for certain things they did throughout the year. And the guy's standing on the stage with a bottle of wine in one hand, and he's so drunk trying to walk around, give out these things, that even the owners of the company were embarrassed to the fact that he was their vice president. Isn't that a scary thing? Standing there chugging out of a bottle of wine in front of hundreds of people. Hundreds of people, and he claimed to be a Christian. Claimed to be a Christian. Folks, if you're going to be a Christian, be a grizzly bear. Be a grizzly bear Christian. I mean, there's nothing, there's not an animal on this earth, Harley, that can whoop a grizzly bear. And I'm telling you, if you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. Stand strong, stand firm. Even when these young men were threatened to be put to death, they refused to bow down to a false god. They would only stand up to the real God, the true God. They took a stand for God in spite of their personal cost. No matter what it costs, folks, stand for what God says. Stand for what's right. You know, they say that sometimes there's nothing worse than death, but I'm telling you right now there are things worse than death. Going to hell is worse than death. Standing before Almighty God, even at the judgment seat of Christ, not necessarily the great white throne judgment, but at the judgment seat of Christ when he looks at you and you're judged for the things you do in your body. Because believe it or not, even though you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. But you will be judged for what you do in this mortal body. We're all going to give an account for what we do. Bible's clear. Bible's very clear that it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. We all have to stand before our Creator. We all have to give an answer. So just stand for what's right. What you do right now, will stand before God one day, whether you think it, whether you look at it and you're not supposed to, whether you listen to it and you shouldn't listen to it, whether you go somewhere you're not supposed to go, or you go to church instead. That's your choice. God gave us a free choice. Don't throw it away. True believers should stand shoulders square and take a stand for Jesus Christ. He expects nothing more or nothing less than total commitment. And it's not a hard thing to do. Just do what's right. Make a good decision, the right choice. Matthew 16:24 says, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow Christ. Follow Jesus. It's not that difficult to do. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever you do for Jesus will last for eternity. But what you do on this earth, it's going to go away. But what you choose to do for Him will last for the rest of eternity if you do it for Jesus. If you do it with the right heart, folks. If you're going to serve Jesus, if you're going to serve the Lord, serve Him from your heart. You got to have your heart in it. It's got to be real. I mean, we live in a day and an age where there are so many secret service Christians, should I say. There's actually a song that my wife and I heard one time at Pensacola Christian College. They sang, "Secret service Christians are not needed at this time." We need real, authentic, strong, heavy, grizzly-like Christians to stand up in this world and say, enough is enough. We're going to choose to do what God tells us to do, not what the world says to do, not what the things of this world tells us to do. Luke 9, verse 62 says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." In other words, once you start to serve the Lord, don't stop. Don't stop. Keep your eyes where they belong, on the prize. What's the prize? Heaven. Heaven's the prize, folks. Heaven is our prize. The Lord Jesus Christ is our prize. So if we go, here's what we need to understand. If we're going to live for Jesus in this world, it's not going to be easy. I'll not stand up here and tell you it's an easy life. It's not an easy life to be a Christian. It's not easy. If we're going to be, if we're going to stand alone, you ever had to stand alone for something? I've been there. I've had to do it. A couple times about cost me a job. And you know what? I didn't care if it did or not. And I told them that. Well, you know what? Here, I even turned in my keys one day. I laid my keys on my boss's desk. There's my keys because I know you're going to disagree with me. He started crying. He picked up the keys, handed them back to me. He said, "Roy, I respect you." I said, "Well, thank you for that. I guess I'll stay." but anyway, we've got to make sure that we stand for what's right. And then when we choose to do what's right, and we don't let this world squeeze and mold us into what they want us to become, because that's what's going on right now. They're wanting us to love their sin, and we can't do that. We got to hate the sin. We got to stand for what's right, folks. We got to refuse to it, to accept it, and that's the right thing to do. Then we're going to, and when we do that, we're going to suffer persecution. We are going to suffer persecution. I think the day's coming, and it's going to hit the churches. And that's what the Bible teaches us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It's real. It's coming our way. You know, America, we haven't seen much of it yet, but it's coming. It's coming. And 1 Peter 4, 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened." Don't think it's strange when the world persecutes you, or they laugh at you, or they mock you because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they don't want you to believe in that. They don't want you to believe in that because they don't want to give up their worldly, evil, wicked, sinful ways. And when they don't want to do that, there's something wrong. So if we're going to live if we're going to live godly, if we're going to live for Jesus Christ, then we're going to be persecuted. It's going to come. It's coming our way. There will be a furnace of criticism. We'll go through furnaces of criticism on this earth. We'll go through furnaces of intimidation. They will try to intimidate us to get us to do what they want us to do. There'll be furnaces of hatred. We're not the haters. They're the ones who hate us. We love them. We just don't like what they do. And it's okay to hate sin. It's in the Word of God. And there's going to be furnaces of temptation. Temptation will come your way. Just when you feel like you're getting the strongest as you could be as a Christian, temptation will rise its ugly head. God will not tempt you, but the devil will certainly tempt you, especially if he knows you're choosing to do what's right. So there's going to be furnaces of temptation. There's going to be furnaces of trials that's going to come our way. And we got to stand firm. We got to stand together in those things like you couldn't even begin to imagine it's going to hit us eventually. These furnaces will become more numerous, and the fires will get hotter and hotter before the Lord returns. Guarantee it's going to happen, folks. It's very clear that the furnaces are going to grow in number, and it's going to continue. But hopefully what it'll do is it'll just push us closer to the cross, closer to the Lord. That's where we want to go, closer to Him. And that's just the way that it is. He didn't save us from the persecution of this world. He saved us for eternity, to be in His presence throughout eternity. And that's what it's all about. But the furnaces of life, especially the furnaces of persecution, are not fun. It's not a fun thing to be persecuted. It's ugly, actually. And when it comes your way, what are you supposed to do? I think of an individual who had a very good testimony, a fellow by the name of Ron Hamilton. had a wonderful testimony, but the furnaces hit his life. He was tested. He got, Ron Hamilton was also known as Patch the Pirate. And some of you don't know the story about Patch the Pirate. Some of you may know that story. I know Brother Dale, I think I've heard you talk about him. But he got cancer in one of his eyes at one time, and he lost an eyeball. He wanted to serve the Lord, and he had some doubt, I guess, about what he was going to do. But when he went through this trial in life and had the cancer in his one eye, he couldn't figure out. He just had some doubts. I didn't know the man personally, but I read a little bit about his story. But that, this fiery trial came his way, and God took that trial in his life where he lost an eyeball, and he turned it around for good, for Ron Hamilton, and for God's glory. And he wrote a song, and I want to sing that song to you. It's called Rejoice in the Lord. And it just says simply, God never moves without purpose or plan. You know, if you missed Sunday school this morning, Brother Joe hit on some of this in Sunday school this morning, a little bit of this. It's kind of strange how his Sunday school lessons, and I don't even read the Sunday school book because I got too many other things to read. But anyway, his lessons go along with my messages, it seems like. So you're missing out if you're not coming to Sunday school, folks. You're missing because it ties together. It all comes together. But just listen to the words of this song. It's just called Rejoice in the Lord. It's a beautiful song. It's got... We're going to be tried. And that's how we come forth as gold. And that's what God wants us to do. Rejoice in the Lord. God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testings come from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. See, folks, you got to understand, sometimes the Lord will send the trials our way to make us stronger, to make us like gold. We'll go through trying times, and God will allow it. Joe mentioned it again this morning about Job. You know, Job went through a difficult time. His wife even told him, curse God and die. And Job said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what's right. I mean, why would you curse the one who gave you not only physical life, but eternal life? Do what is right. Stand for what is right. No matter what persecution comes your way, if you're feeling like you're getting persecuted, folks, give us a call. Call the church. Leave a message. Sister Darlena will be glad to put it on the prayer list, or on the prayer chain, and we'll be down on our knees praying for you as an individual. God is too good for us not to stand for what's right. It's a good thing to stand for what's right. But, you know, Ron Hamilton knew that when he wrote that song, because he lost an eyeball to cancer. You know, if you've ever had cancer, I know Brother Dale, you've had cancer, you're a cancer survivor, I've had cancer, it's gone. Praise God. But I never lost an eyeball for it. Something that you really, really, really need to have, you know. And these people that were just cancer survivors, your brother and sister, God bless them. Praise God. He's still here, folks. He has not gone anywhere. Stand up for him. Get the monkey off your back that the world is trying to put on there and stand for what's right. Do the right thing. Just choose to do the right thing. I'm still not finished, but we'll finish up later. We might get through this one next year. But there's just so much in the Word of God, folks. And what I want to see happen with every one of us is that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. Know Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. We're here to know Him. We're here to make Him known to a world that needs Him more now, I think, than ever before. What a time to be alive. What a time to be serving God in a time like this. We ought to thank Him every day for putting us in this world at this present time. At this present time. You can be part of such a great revival that could break out in our church and outside the walls of our church that the whole world may see. Not like these fake ones you see on YouTube and all that garbage. That's a bunch of garbage. But I'm telling you, just get a stand. Have standards. Hold yourself to a high standard as a Christian. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for Your precious Word. Thank You, Lord, for meeting with us today. Father, Your Word tells us clearly that where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. But we thank You that there's more than two or three, Father, but there's a good crowd here today, Lord, and we're thanking You for that. Pray for each one that's here today, Lord, that you'd bless them, Father, that You'd keep them in Your care. And Lord, as we go out into the world this morning, Father, from the church, that, Lord, that others would see Jesus in our life. Wherever we go, whatever we do, help us to be strong, to stand firm, and Father, to preserve our testimonies for Jesus Christ. Help us not to let that go away in any way, shape, or form, Father. Speak to us now as we have our invitation time. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Page 249, just as I am. One thing you have to understand is no matter what's in your life, no matter what you're fighting right now, God will take you just as you are. You don't have to get rid of that sin before you come to Him. Just come to Him. Just come to Him. That's where you find your forgiveness, just as I am.